The Word of God is given to us to feed on. We at Deliverance Assemblies of God Church, located at Kotobabi behind Ebony Hotel in Accra, use this channel to come your way with the unadulterated Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
We looked at Zachariah. Tonight we are looking at Jesus. I didn't add this text, but tonight we want to pick it from this text. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. Who read for us? I need a new reader. Matthew 12, 37. Matthew 12, 37. I need a new reader. Matthew 12, verse 37. Matthew 12, 37. Phone Bible, hard Bible, all Bibles are accepted. So Matthew 12, 37 says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." How many times do we see your words there? How many times? Are we here? Can we all read? Matthew 12, 37, shall we all go? "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." How many times do we see the words there? Two. And how many times do we see thy there? T-H-Y. And thy means you. So, if I want to use a new English version, I'll say, "For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be what? Condemned." So whose words would he be justified with? Your own words. Hallelujah. Your own words. Your own words. Your own words. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So here Jesus is speaking, and he's making it clear that words are very important. By your words you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. So how many people's words have justified them? And how many people's words are condemning them? Remember, when we look into this passage, it didn't tell us where. There's no location in this verse. In this scripture, there's no location. "For by your words." So whether you are under the sea, your words. Whether you are on a hill, it is your words. So by your words. Look at somebody and tell the person, "By your words." By your words. Then we look at our main text for today. I brought this so that we'll get some things clear. Then our main text for today is Mark chapter 11, verse 12 to 14. Now, I need a reader. Mark chapter 11, verse 12 to 14. I learned my green marker is not helping. So, Mark 11, verse 12 to 14. Is somebody there? The first scripture we read was Matthew 12, 37. Now we are looking at Mark chapter.
Hello. Mark chapter 12.
Mark chapter 11.
Sorry, Mark chapter 11, verse Please, 12.
Sit down, relax. No pressure, no tension. Just relax. Let's go.
Mark chapter 11, verse 12 to 14. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. 13. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. 14. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. Amen.
Amen. So that is Mark chapter 11, from verse 12 to 14. And then that same story continues from verse 20 to 24. So shall we read?
Verse 20 to 24. That's Mark 11.
Yeah.
In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. 21. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Verse 22. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in the heart, but believe that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whether you ask for whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Amen.
Amen. So, this passage is about who? Jesus. So, scripture says, verse 12, now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Has somebody become hungry before? Have you become hungry before? So, Jesus also was hungry. So, he is a man just as we are. Even as we are standing here and sitting here and listening to me online, I know some are even what? Hungry. Amen. Verse 13. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. It was not the season. So when we look at this scripture very well, verse 13. So we can see from this scripture that the scripture has already told us Jesus was hungry. So he came towards the tree in his hunger, expecting to get what? Some descent. Mostly, we have been saying that, oh, the tree deceived Jesus and this thing. But now let us look at it. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Can we all read the last line? For the time of figs was not yet. It is sometimes yeah explanation be in a the tree deceived Jesus and this and this thing. In the scripture, we are reading it together. What did the tree do? What did the tree do? Had the tree done anything? The scripture itself has said that for the time of figs was not yet. That is why last time I was telling you that sometimes when we are reading Bible, we may need to take pencils and jotter and start underlining some things. Because if you are reading Bible and you carry some preconception, some things that people have said, and you carry it into reading your Bible, you may be reading something, but be carrying what you have. You have to pour everything from your head before you can read it. Amen. Look at somebody, tell the person, when you are reading the scripture, pour everything out. You can't carry things to read the Bible. Otherwise, you get things wrong. So here, we are seeing that scripture is saying, because it was not the season for figs. So if it is not the season for figs, definitely the tree will not what? Bear fruit. True or false? True or false? Uh-huh. Now we go. After we've gotten there, can we go to 14? So, verse 14. Verse 14. Okay. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. In response to what? In response to what? Then he said to the tree, this is NIV, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. I want to ask a question here, and I want everybody to talk. Did Jesus speak in a rash manner? Man can't say Jesus in you, your kind of Bible. Was his speech in a rash manner? Yes or no? We are doing Bible study.
Yes.
Yes.
Was in a rash manner.
Was in a rash manner. Yes, who else? Did Jesus speak in a rash manner?
Yes, Jesus speak in a rash manner.
So Jesus spoke in a rash manner. Why? Why did he speak in a rash manner? Because he was hungry. So have you realized that when you are hungry, you can say some things? Hello?
Hi.
When you are hungry, when you are hungry, you become angry. Okay, so when you are hungry, you become angry. And therefore, the little thing, you are irritated. So maybe, from this scripture, Jesus has seen the fig tree. Bible has already said he is hungry. Bible did not say he was trying to be hungry. Bible said he is hungry. And therefore, he saw this fig tree from the far, and he thought he would get something there. And the last energy he has used to kadi waya ababedu obedu o say yay adeya ha me adeya jeje me o say let no man eat from this tree again. Let no man eat from this tree again. Let's continue. So in verse 20. So we are looking at a two-day story. A two-day story. Are we okay? The scripture, the story begins by now the next day. So let's say the next day was, today is Wednesday. So now the next day was yesterday, Tuesday. And he was hungry and he has spoken like that. In verse 20, Bible said, now in the morning, it means that another day has what?
Come.
Another day has passed. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. They saw. How come they were able to see? Yes, how come they were able to see? Yes.
Because the leaves were withered.
Apart from that, how come they were able to see? Because they heard it. Are we clear? Because they did what? They heard it. So when you hear something, then you can now what? Look at it again. So they heard. When he has spoken, they heard. So the next day, because they heard, when they saw the tree and the fig and the leaves are dried up, they became curious about it. Because they heard. If they had not heard, assuming they did not hear, and they went and the leaves were dry, would they be worried? No. Is there a message by the tree? No. But this time, they heard. And therefore, when they got there and they saw that the trees, the leaves were dry. Let's continue. And Peter, remembering, said to him. So you can see it from verse 21.
And Peter, remembering what? Peter, remembering what?
What Jesus said.
Remembering what he heard. Said to him, Rabbi, look. The fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Remember when we started, we read Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. And Jesus talked about what? Your words. So here, when Peter now said it, Jesus said, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. Have faith in God. This is where we come to today. That means that your words are either an expression of faith or an expression of what? Doubt. So it does not matter the time you spoke, and it does not matter the situation in which you spoke, but the emphasis of our lesson is that whatever you speak, you will what? You will see. Unless you decide not to what? Take cognizance of what you have spoken. Just a 1 year wife being said, Asemna mekayena, meye den, meshe, say, Asemna mekayena abemwana. I am using this to link to all the ones that we have done. Because they heard, they could see. And when they saw, they realized that the words have had what? Effect. Ladies and gentlemen, your words have an effect. Whether you like it or not. Your words have an effect. They have an effect, they are having an effect, and they will continue to have an effect. Your words. Let me add verse 23. For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Underline the word, whatever he says. In verse 23, Jesus is talking about faith, but We are yet to get there. So you remove the word faith there and put in this word. Whatever you say, you shall have whatever you do what you say. So whether you said it in faith or you said it in doubt, you will still what? Have it. You will still have it. Said, does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen. It will be done for them. What they say will happen. You see, let me do a little bit digression here. Unfortunately, when we pray, last week I did this illustration. When we are praying, asembia ye kan ye jidi, but ye wahaba mumbuame. Asembia ye kan eni ejidi. Hello. Mbajo, obi angasa. Asembia ye kan ejidi. Enye ninyina. Iti yeke scripture we ya. O say, and does not doubt in their heart. Mibe we ya me the scripture bibe abe chem. Na ye di ahe bibi. Enye asembia ye kan eni eden ye jidi. Inti se asembia, enye asembia wo kan na ejidi ya. That means in sembu o hoa. It won't happen. But let me give you this thing for you to think about. Have you realized that all the negatives you say, you believe it? Oh, in a nansen yen to add here. Unji di, ansa na aka. Ansi na unji. Na wanji di ansa na aka. Nipa ni bisa o se ah na den na wo pa akira hwehwehwe fiti anopakra ba kra ne ye ntohwe iti you look at this scripture and you realize that even the negative you have already believed it in your heart before you did what you said it. And so Bible said it will, Jesus said it will be done for them. That is why when we say negative we see it so fast. Because this one will answer yesterday, last week when I brought that question that someone asked me, why is it that when we pray, we are saying positive, but it does not happen. But when we say the negative, it happens. That's the issue. There's no doubt in their heart. In the Bible, when you go oh, boy, no, see, yeah, inka, inka, me, mo, or so fun, se, minka, or se, minka, meka, 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 manka, manka, so fun, mu, or beka, se, yeah, wanka, hey, hega, dear, between you, hey, hega, hega, I didn't want to, and want to, so so fun, as some naka, and come in, or so bon, some bon, some naka, no, a bon, and some noka, in tea, as some na, or can in, yana, a so fun, say, minka, in tea, There is a whole lot of doubt about that thing. You have a question? Okay. And any last day, in Munkasa.
I heard you, so we are in a Sunday school.
Yes.
I said Sunday school, we are in a class, learning class. So
mm-hmm.
Let me throw this question, because majority of you said that Jesus Christ spoke in a rush, which mm-hmm. I have a contrary view.
Mm-hmm.
Because from the angle, the lesson that came out of Jesus Christ cursing mm-hmm. the tree
mm-hmm.
and what transpired and the lesson they are learning, don't you think it's more of telling them to have faith, the power of the tongue and the power of the faith? Because Jesus Christ, obviously knew that tree don't be any fruit then.
Uh-huh.
But don't you also realize maybe it's kind of giving them an instruction to learn with regard to the power of the tongue and the power of faith. Looking at the lesson was trying
that
to
we
them
can draw from
exactly.
It. Yes, the lesson we can draw from it is good. But the incident that leads to the lesson shows that in that situation, he did not have mercy on the tree. You understand? So he spoke rash. But in bringing that lesson to us, what we would draw from it is that whether you speak rash or you speak coolly, it will hurt, it will work. That is the lesson. But the reason why I made that to talk about...
Because before you continue, Jesus Christ knew that when he drew closer to that tree, there won't be any fruit. He knows it already. He knows the tree already. So it's more of a lesson, a ground for them to learn a lesson.
I don't doubt it.
That's the point I'm coming from.
I don't
see it to be a rush.
I don't
that's
doubt it,
view.
Yes. But what you see, I want us to look at it like Yeshua, dear. And Yeshua, dear, no, from Israel, we have done it from the Israelites up to this time. And we saw that the Israelites spoke in under impatience against God and against Moses, and exactly what they said happened to them. So now we come to this point, and Bible specifically tells us Jesus was hungry, so he was not kind to the tree. Although there is a lesson, but there have been many times commentaries have passed that the tree deceived Jesus. That is why I wanted us to just look at it, but that is not the main thing. The whole issue was that anyhow he spoke, it worked. And therefore, you may speak. Or say, wait there, na mi bu na fu nti na me kan sa, it will work. Wait there, mi bu na fu enso me kan sa, it will work. So the next day, when they had drawn Jesus' attention to the tree, he is now bringing the lesson out for them. But we needed to speak of day one, and then we come to day two. In the question, we understand you, but we were looking at...
when you meet people and they have certain values and character, regardless of the situation, will become. But somebody who doesn't have that small thing that the person will flare up. Jesus Christ was well composed. He knows what he was doing. Because I want to bring down so people know this. Oh, Jesus Christ cried at the point that he spoke in a rush. So people want to use to justify it. But this one, at this second, for me, he knew it. But it's just a lesson he wanted to, portray to what? To the disciples.
Yes. Thank you very much. I had earlier on stated that Jesus has said, a minute before you come, I had earlier on stated that Jesus had talked about works, that by your works. So this one, nobody will take it out of context, but we just want everybody to understand that works have power. That is the underlining thing. Amen. So whether, you see, and just as you said, somebody will say Jesus spoke in a rush. If you speak in a rush, it will still happen. So words have power. This one, he did it with a tree. For us to understand that words have power. Even a tree feels it. And last week, those of you who came, I gave you Masaru Emoto. That go and read about it. And he talked about the effect of words even on water. And the effect of words on what? On plants. So if plants can fail, water can have the effect of your words. And Jesus now has demonstrated what we looked at from somebody's what, experiment. That even plants, when you speak, it will what? It will work. How much more on yourself about your life? That is the where we are centering at. Please, you have a contribution.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think that seriously, when you started, I was also not following. But with the continuation, I realized that we were looking at the literal meaning of the statement there. I mean, the literal meaning, it means that as it is there, we are just taking it one after the other, and we want to look at what the statement there means. Because to me, I also feel that Jesus knows everything. And so, like you have rightly said, the lesson that we are going to learn will come at the end of it. But with Jesus speaking in haste, I think that we are just taking it literally. Because I also feel that the way he spoke means that at any point in time, we should be able to bear fruit in season and out of season. Because he knows us. So at any point, and when Jesus is looking for us, he wants to find us doing something for him. So, but with the explanation, I've gotten it right now that we are looking at it literally. Then we'll now draw the lesson that we are learning out of it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you too. We are looking at the power of confession. That is our theme. And that is where we are looking at it from. Hello? This scripture, I can pick it and preach it in a different way. But for the purpose of this class, we are looking at it from our confession. What confession does for us as not even as a believer, but as Christians, as a human being. The power of confession. The power that you have in your mouth. And today is the sixth week, or the fifth week. We started from Genesis. We have looked at Numbers. We have looked at Joshua. And then we came to Luke. And today we are looking at this. So that is the sequence we are following. So in all those ones, we are tracking to see whether words actually work or they don't work. Hello? And for those of you who have been part for some time, may understand where we are coming from. So, we are using the lenses of the power of words. That is why I made that input, whether it was rash or not. Because some people are fond of saying that I was under pressure, so I heard, I spoke. Whatever you speak, you heard, you will see. The only thing is that whether you take cognizance of it or not. Whether you take cognizance of it or not. So, in verse 23, Jesus now begins to tell them in that same way the power of words. Talking about when you speak, in what heart do you speak from? But I was telling you that in our system, in where we come from, we realize that we have been taught so much negative. So, obi bobola. Ose, hey, send your war boy here. Obi prao. Yengase send your war boy here. Eh, fepa. There be all the things we will say is about the negative. Send your war boy here. Obi prao. Then the moment the person gets hurt, then what do we say? Man can't chiro say, obi pra. That means that in a way, we still acknowledge that it works. But unfortunately, we have not looked at it well. And so here, Jesus now brings something we call a mountain there. And the mountain can be any situation that you find in your life. How do you speak? So it means that in our speaking, we are either creating mountains or we are removing what? Mountains. Either we are creating mountains or we are removing what? Mountains. And every time we are speaking. Either we are creating mountains or we are removing mountains. And we go to you talking. And we go to verse 24, the last verse. It says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I want you to talk, Uncle Alex. I want you to talk. And then when you finish, I will bring about two scriptures and then we look at it. So we are now looking at New Testament and we realize that everybody, the way we talk, what we say, has a great effect. Yes, please.
Yeah, amen. Still on the topic Sunday school superintendent raised. Yeah, I think Jesus one is our perfect example. Yes. And in as much as we are promoting our words, we should also be in right standing. Because for Jesus to wrongly or harshly accuse a fig tree for it, if we say that Jesus wrongly or was harsh to the fig tree for it to come true, then Jesus is also teaching us something, let me say, bad. You see, there is something called the season for something. Fine. And the perfect example is maize. Coming from the point of agriculture, realize that in the seasons of a tree, there is a time it plants, there is a time it grows, there is a time it starts flowering, there is a time it starts budding, there is a time it starts flowering, there is a time it starts producing fruits, and the time it reaches maturity. So when you say this is the season for maize, we only talk about the season for maturity. But we also know that maybe we harvest maize in Easter. But before Easter, when you go March, you should get fruit. Just that at that season, it's not the season for maize. But you should get some fruit, which they normally call the first fruit. So it was not the season for this one, all right. But at that time, because when you look at the trend, the timing of the story, it was getting close to the Passover. And when you look at a few chapters after that, that was when Jesus died. And it is normally said that after Passover, around May, June, that is the season for figs. But looking at the season
It was very close to the Passover, which could say that it was getting close to the season, which could also say that at that very point, you should get something. At that very instance, you should get a promise of fertility. And that also proved why there was a lot of leaves. So Jesus was not expecting so much. He was just expecting something. And his expectation was vivid because it was getting close to the season, which was after Passover. And for Jesus to go to see nothing, it even shows that when it gets to that season, it will produce nothing. So Jesus was not wrong to accuse them or to, yes. And it's also best to us as Christians. We should have that promise of futility, even when we are not in our city. We should show that we have something to show off. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. But you see, if we have something we call follow the altar, when you follow the altar, then you will understand where the altar is going. If you don't follow the altar, you can bring anything that you want to say across. We are learning, yes. But in our learning, I want us to take cognizance of words. That is all we are looking at. So, whether it was a season or this thing, I don't want us to be theologians here. I'm coming. I don't want anyone to be a theologian. I want us all to be Bible. We are doing a Bible study. And this one is just, it is just to help us to understand and pick things. Are you okay? To understand and pick things. I don't want to bring this meaning, no. Otherwise, Obifa Bible, Obeka, so any media, mean do hadia, mean ya den, mean tias here. But all that we're trying to mean, that is why that place is just a passing comment. But we are saying that every commentary you make is working. That is all. I hope you understand. It is not about whether the fig tree represents us or not. We are not looking at it like that. In the lesson we are picking, we are just picking the power of words to see whether it works or it does not work. And that is why when we started, and if you have followed the way we looked at all those things, and we saw that even the negatives Israel mentioned worked. The negatives Israel mentioned worked. So even when it does not fruit, whether Jesus expected or not, any word he said on it, Bible said the next day, remembering. You understand? And this is where I want us to take note of something. He said, remembering. How many of us talk and we remember? That is the reason why I brought all this. Okay? So relax about that. How many of us talk and we remember? Many of us talk and we just talk. Right now, if I should go around and ask you, for the 100 days we prayed, what prayers did you pray? How many do you remember? How many do you remember? We realize that almost all of us, we are just talking and we are going, you know. But from what we are learning, it tells us that whatever we are saying is what? It's working. So if you are just talking and you think it is just a talk, ladies and gentlemen, the moment power is released, it does not come back. It works. That is why I said today we are not even looking at the faith aspect that Jesus talked about. I made mention of it. And I said that we are only looking at the worst aspect, so that we don't go out of the class we are doing. Another time we will look at it, the faith. Then we'll look at the faith aspect. But we are only looking at the worst, because Bible says Jesus did what? He spoke. And every day, today, as we are here, we are speaking. 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 But how many of us are mindful of the things we speak? In the passage, it doesn't mean Jesus did not remember what he spoke. But in the passage, Bible is just trying to tell us that some people were there, so they heard. And because they heard, they recorded. And because they recorded, they could now play what? Play back. Question. If nobody is there and nobody is playing back for you, would you remember that asem we are making enu na yi me no? This is where it becomes a tough issue for us. And last time I came and I was saying that sometimes we'll be there, we'll be cursing father's the power of our what? Father's house, the power of our mother's house. But have we ever sat down and said that asem na making enu me am making asem? Because we don't remember. This is where the power of words is. We don't remember. And so at the end, one hour can say, "Enye ye, ine ne anye den, anye ye." One woman was telling me that also for asemna okay, eye no creo. In my situation, after listening to you and this thing, I realized that. Then years after, it now became a mountain that I had to deal with. Unfortunately, I could not finish dealing with it. And now I am left with it. So will I say it's my father's house? That person has recognized that. But what about you? What about me? This is where I want us to. Unfortunately, we are ending today, and next year we'll not be doing power of confession. So I want you to be continuing. But next year we'll be looking at more of the thought aspect. What came in before you what you talked. But for now, we want to center on the power of confession, and then see that hey, sana mebe kasa echese metu mebo. No matter the situation, men to me book, na minya de menka. And yes, sir. Then I will sit down and use hours to say it is somebody. You know that we all go through situations. Is that not so? We all go through situations. Some are very unpleasant, some are pleasant. But you know that the devil is waiting for you to speak about the situation. Then he can now hold it. So if you remember, some of the prayers we've been praying, Pastor has been saying, the legal right we gave. Because the devil wants something from you. But if you don't talk, what can he do? He has nothing. And so when you bring Job's case in, the moment Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord, the devil had lost. Because he had wanted Job to say, then the complaint will start. But when you read Job's account, you will see that even when he was trying to complain, he gets to a point he wants to stop. Why? He knew that it has repercussions. Most of us, sometimes we say we have genuine reasons for complaining. We have genuine reasons for talking the way we are talking. But I am here pleading with us all. We may have genuine reasons, but we should know that it will work. It will work. I wrote something here. Because of time, let me just read it, and then if I have any commentaries. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 talks about we receiving salvation. It says, with our heart we do what? We believe. But with our mouth, we confess unto salvation. That means that when you believe it in your heart and you don't confess it with your mouth, salvation is not established. So if salvation is established by your speaking, Then in the same way, distraction is also established by what? Your speaking. So, not only does your heart have something to do with your salvation, your mouth has something to do with it too. And what does your mouth do? It speaks what? Words. It speaks what your heart has what? Believed. So, sometimes, all the things we are saying, that is what our hearts are what? Believed. Whether it is positive or negative. And mostly, we speak more of the negative than the positive. That is where the issue is. Because you look at Israel in the wilderness and you see that everything Israel was saying was more of negative. When did you see Israel praising God? It was only when they crossed the Red Sea. Apart from the Red Sea, where did they praise God? Every time they said God did not do it well. And the moment you have problem praising God, the next thing is you will what? You will complain. So, I wrote here, the words you speak identify you. The words you speak identify you. Assembly awokana, eshe wonso. The words you speak identify you. Assembly awobeke biana, ebeshe wonso. Then, number two, the words you speak set boundaries for your life. The words you speak set boundaries for your life. You can use this word, these things I'm just bringing out. You can use it to cross-check all the lessons we have. So the boundaries that Jesus set for the fig tree is that no man will eat from you. Then, the words you speak affect your spirit, your inner man. It affects your own spirit, your inner man. And that was that is why Jesus was saying that when you don't doubt. And I'm here to tell you that all the negative words we speak, we don't doubt. All the negative words we speak, we don't doubt. Yari we di ebe kumio, and one ebe kumio. One had doubted that. As long as I cry, yari, and no kuno, mba panso, and one de kuno, and I'm in sumatumi, and one, no, no, bag baby, and one, no. We don't doubt. So you may even be singing it, but you don't doubt it. So, if you want to locate yourself, listen to the words you speak. If you want to locate yourself, that means that anytime you are tight at a certain corner, anytime you are tight at a certain corner, one of the things you have to check is check the words you are what? Speaking. For all you know, it is your words that have locked you there. If you want to locate yourself, just listen to the words you speak. And I also wrote, when I say our confession is our words. So our words is the battleground on which we fight. Your words is the battleground on which you are what? You are fighting. It is what determines whether we will succeed or fail. It is what determines whether you succeed or fail. It is what determines whether you succeed or fail. So your words is the battleground. It is what determines whether you succeed or what? Or fail. So I wrote that, let us note these things. For husbands and wives here, realize that a biting, stinging word in the morning will rob a spouse of efficiency the whole day long. Now here, I am trying to extend it to where that we even say on people. I intentionally, we started on ourselves, but now we are looking at on people. So for husbands and wives, some of the stinking words that we say, it can rob your spouse of the whole day's job. Whether neni bedia, I say, oh, make a kebia chreno. Oje se woke kane keke. Wan ke kane keke. Onam nina at that, it is a ringing tone. Then it trims. And then for parents, realize that the home atmosphere is a product of words. Your home atmosphere is a product of words. Your home atmosphere is a product of what? Words. If you relax in the home, it's a product of words. Parents, what do we say to and about our children? What do we say to and about our children? Whatever we say to or about our children, we are either speaking life or speaking death. Hey, remember when they said, then this is what I should do. But when you say, I'm not going to be ashamed, I'm not going to be ashamed. So you see, yes, then this is what I should do. But for then this is what I should do, I can't say, I'm going to be ashamed. Remember when they said, then this is what I should do, I'm going to be ashamed. I'm going to be ashamed. That is what you released. Because parents, we have a covering over our children. So what we say works. We can speak and our children will grow physically. And we can also speak and there will be sickness and disease all around our children. Recently, a friend came and I asked him, how is the home? Then he said, my son has contacted measles. He has contacted measles. And for over 2 weeks, we are sending him to the drugstore, to the hospital. It is not working. Power of words. Then I told the father that you are the father of the child. When you go home, just open the door and tell the sickness that you have overstayed in this room for too long. Move out. The next 3 days, when we met, I say, "Akolane nehu atono." That is it. Why? It's worse. Some of our worst invite diseases. And therefore, sometimes when you are battling with some things too much, speak and let those things go. Because they are all worse. So if we believe that, I don't know how many of you have listened to the Ugandan ex-Satanist who became a Christian. As we speak now, over 4.something million have watched. He said his job was to release curses. So, if you have spoken, if you believe that somebody can release curses and it will work on you, then if you can also release good words, it must begin to work. And we need everybody here to release good words. If you release good words, I am here to tell you that you reduce your hospital bill by over 50%. Your mouth will reduce your hospital bill. Because Obu Onoma, okay, neba nima, Charlie, we are. Akolani se minyaro kra, also we are. My toy yari ama by force. Mema wa yari, HSC eko hospital. You see, some of us are laughing, but you see, you would think, oyari, ina, mi won se, unwa ye shika krebi, mi si yo, etridi acho, malaria acho, fese ni okon wa ye shi, yee, ume nedru, me buwa wa mwa ye den, wa yari. Are you clear? You see, when we talk of the power of confession, I told you that when the moment we decide to start praying, everybody will go into a conscious mode, a prayer mode. But when we are talking, we talk freely. Is that not so? In your free talking, be careful. Because that is also what? Confession, back in your prayer. And many of us, the free range that we are doing, that is what has become our undoing. So you go to the Achimota Forest for 8 hours, you come and you do free range, 30 minutes. What say, Bibia? Where? Hey, Let me ask you this question. Assuming this morning somebody came to fry fish in this room, when we come, we don't have no call, but when we come, will the scent be there? Yes or no? Mama, for no, maybe yeah, mama, your intention, your man. Will the scent be there? So note that when you speak, the scent is still there. Unfortunately, it is because we spoke, so we felt a yankee. But use the frying of fish as the example. So whatever you said into that room, it is still working. It is still working. When you rent a new house or you go into an apartment, what we say that is called dedication. What is it? Is it not worse? When we come, what do we do there? We speak. We speak. We speak. And what do you see there? The word that we spoke, control that environment until the day you do it, you leave. But you can make that word powerful by the way you will also what? Speak. Otherwise, you can also spoil those words the day you enter into the room and say, that may maybe be an enyedu. The power of words. Continue to read your Bible. You will see a lot of examples. A lot of examples. A lot of examples. Some of us are praying very well. We are praying very hard. But we are still holding on to some words. That this word is the mean jemuda. So, about some 2 or 3 contributions, and then we are done for here.
Like the frying of the fish, when you are done, the woman is done cooking, and you are gone. By the time someone enters the room, he or she will notice that there's something prepared over there. So sometimes you have a friend or someone who comes to tell you something. He's not telling you against you, but he or himself. But the moment he or she goes, no one said those words are not good. You better cancel it so that this atmosphere will be canceled from your atmosphere. Amen.
Thank you very much. So that illustration was an atmosphere illustration, and she is kidding. Any other?
I think Pastor Roger has already explained, but you know, I was understanding the Mark 11, 12 to 14 as, you know, Jesus has both human and spiritual. So when he was in human, became hungry towards the fig tree, requested for food. You know, normally you can't be with Jesus and be barren. So that tree was expected to produce food. So the tree disappointed Jesus Christ. That is why the curse was released. But the word that Jesus has released, like Pastor Roger is saying, the people around him, you know, the disciple, they have also seen that, oh, this is the power of the word. Jesus has released the word. And that is why when you read far and you go high, you will see that when you have faith and you believe, you can also do the same. Amen.
Okay, so let me tell you what happened to me on Sunday. You know, when Pastor said we should pray for the man of God, mm-hmm. and I was a bit slow, then a spirit dropped a word into my spirit. And what did the word say? It said that whatever comes out of you is a seed. So when Pastor tells you that, pray for the person, whatever word you utter, you are going to get it multiple folds for yourself. But normally we have a tendency when they say, okay, pray for this person, speak encouragement to them, we tend to be slow. But remember that when you are uttering those words, you are doing a service to yourself. But when I speak one, it's like a seed. You don't go seed and one fruit will come. Multiple fruit will come. So that presupposes that, like what you are saying, when you have to utter a word, you must make sure that it's positive. But if it's negative, it's a seed that will come back to you. If it is positive, it will be a seed that will come back to you. Therefore, you need to produce more positive words. And it should be biblical, it should be Bible-based. Which means that as a child of God, you should always study the word of God so that your utterances will emanate from what? The word of God. And like my sister said, second, those around you, you need to find your, those who surround you should be positive people, who have positive mindset, or also whose words emanate from what? The word of God. Because whatever words come out of your mouth is a seed. It will germinate and it will produce fruit. So, anytime you are given an opportunity to speak, you must try as much as possible for positive words to come out of your mouth. But during the day, you are going to be the ultimate beneficiary. That person who spoke one word, but you, multiple benefits will come to you. Thank you.
Amen. As we wrap up for all the things we have done for about 5 weeks or 6 weeks, I want you to think of this. Who is a spiritual person? Who is a spiritual person? Is it the one who, or you always see him talking, who is a spiritual person? When you bring the question I've brought into the power of words, that means that a spiritual person will be the one who will be able to control his words wherever he is. And where do you find spirituality? It is not in the church. You find spirituality at your isolated places. You may be very spiritual here, but Kofia, you are very negative. You are not spiritual. Because that is where the words are released. Here, yeba yenyineshi kut ni ababa bompaye. But honomo, that is where the words are released. So don't look at me here and say he is spiritual. I may not be spiritual. Maybe ubebano, I am a baby sweet what? Sharp teeth in my home. So I may not be spiritual.
Thank you for listening to today's word. We believe that you have been impacted greatly. If you are listening to this podcast and you want to give your life to Christ, please say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you came to do for me. Your life for mine, my sin for your righteousness. I believe that you are the Son of God, sent to die for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for your grace towards me. Amen. Beloved, if you have said this prayer, you are now a child of God. Welcome to God's heavenly family. You can send us an email on deliveranceagdh@gmail.com. We would be glad to assist you and help you grow in the Lord. Thank you. Till next time, keep living the glorious life in Christ.